Welcome to another episode of the It's Just Jokes podcast. As always, I'm here with my cohorts. But first, I'm Joshua Chapman, a.k.a. Slim Balor, a.k.a. Baby Giannis, a.k.a. Mr. Take Your Girl in Front of Your Face. I'm here with, first, Jesse Payne.
Rawr.
A.k.a. Dolomite P, a.k.a. Baby Samoa Joe, a.k.a. Groovy Grizzly. Why? Because he keeps it raw on you hoes. Next, Kobe Price.
What's up?
A.k.a. the homie Kobe, a.k.a. Mr. The Price is Right, a.k.a.
Kobe.
And I feel so good to say that.
Man, listen. And last but certainly not least, Derek Small.
Yeah.
A.k.a. D Smalls, a.k.a. Anthony Mackie Jr., a.k.a. Damn, Derek, where'd you find this pod? Shout out to Dre for the intro music, and shout out to D Will for everything behind the scenes. We appreciate you, sir. This is going to be a wrestling-themed pod. So, WrestleMania is this weekend. NXT TakeOver Part 1 was last night. We were recording this about 35 days or something in advance, about a month out. So Fastlane is next Saturday, or next Sunday, excuse me. But this is a wrestling-themed podcast, and also somewhat of a love letter, but we'll get into that at the very end of the podcast. But yes, this is a wrestling theme pod. We are going to be telling the story of the It's Just Jokes clan in WWE. Basically, what happened was we were sitting around one day, and I think I asked, what would it be like if we were wrestlers? And it kind of just went off in the group chat, and we made this whole big, beautiful story. And we decided this has to be a podcast. You guys have to see the vision and all that kind of stuff. We're very excited about this. Even if you are not a wrestling fan, we think you'll enjoy the storytelling element of it, because that is very integral to this. It's not just like we randomly do this and we randomly do that. Like, there is a real story that is here that is certainly based off of who we are as people, and like just sort of the ups and downs that we could go through if we were in WWE. Or if you just want to like replace this with four dudes in WWE, like, this could very much work as a storyline. So before we get started, what'd you say?
This is awesome. This is awesome.
Yeah, before we get started, is there anything that you guys want to say?
I hate you all. I hate each and every one of you. I want my fair shot.
Shut up. You arguably come out the best out of all this, all right? Shut up.
Time to be honest, honestly, yeah, kind of. I mean, my nuts don't, but besides that, I mean, I'm pretty good besides that.
Jesse or Derek, anything you guys need to add?
If just this is a public service announcement, PSA. Me and all my niggas hate Jesse.
This is awesome. It's awesome.
All right. So the way that this is going to go, we have this whole thing written out. We're going to take turns sort of reading through this. We'll talk about this when we need to talk about this. And also, we recorded some promos. So we recorded three promos. We'll drop you guys into those as needed. Again, shout out to D-Will. You worked very hard on all of this. We appreciate you, my guy. I'm so,
bonus. He keeps the shit up.
For real.
Bonus Timmy.
So, I'll start off. So, the first thing that you need to know, our mission, is to come into WWE and sort of restore legitimacy back. So, we don't win by roll-ups, by, like, surprise winning. We don't win by count-outs. We don't win by disqualification. Every single victory in the middle of the ring by pinfall submission. That doesn't mean we don't bend the rules. So if, you know, we're holding one of our opponents against the ropes and there's a five count, we use four and like three-fourths of that count. So it'll be very, very close. But it's essentially, if you're a wrestling fan, think of Imperium meets the Shield. The way the Shield was brought into WWE and sort of skyrocketed up the card, and protect it, and the way that sort of Imperium runs their business in terms of being very staunch about you know, the legitimacy, the sacredness of the mat. That's kind of what we're going for. And it needs to be this way also because, you know, you bring four people together or any, you know, anything larger than a tag team into WWE, you have to be heels. That's kind of just it. Like you can't really bust into the scene being faces. Also clarify if I use wrestling terms. So if you're not familiar, heel means a bad guy, face means a good guy. It's called working babyface, or it's called working a heel. So again, heel, bad guy, face, good guy. So you can't really come in being like pure babyface, good guys, because then like, why are you guys teaming up together? Like the numbers advantage has to work for you. And then as people become to like you, that's when you turn face and good guy. So Kobe, do you want to start off reading off the roles?
Yeah, man. So we're going to start off with, you know, in every stable, you usually have maybe one or two individuals who really go in that way. And you might usually have a tag team. So Jesse and Derek are the tag team of the stable. Jesse's more of the hyperactive mouthpiece of the group. Kind of think how Dean Ambrose was in the Shield, but he's an absolute bully in the ring. Multiple fighting styles. He's a submission specialist, kind of like Bobby Fish meets Samoa Joe. Then we have Derek on the other hand. He's the workhorse, has a lot more flash to him than Derek does. As a heel, he's like the obnoxious one. It's almost like Dolph Ziggler meets Seth Rollins. Then there's me. I'm in the mid card. I've been around for a while, but haven't really sustained any level of success at the main event level. Charismatic as hell, but it's a bit shocking to see me turn heel, like almost like Robert Roode meets Sami Zayn. But I'm an absolute like stickler, like cross my T's, dot my I's, like it also be right for the rules. If there's like something that smells like an arm underneath the ropes, I'll make sure the match is restarted. Like if you do 1, 2, 3, and I see the arm underneath there or their leg or whatever, gotta be restarted. I can't win like that. And if the tables are turned, I'm gonna adhere to whatever the referee says. And if the opponent tries to get out of line, I'll be like, look, man, you gotta act right. We're not gonna do this. We're not gonna be dirty. Then there's Josh. He's the main event guy. Cold, brooding, just straight up. Like it has to be excellence all the time. Kind of cocky though. Cocky, full of himself, got the ego, like Roman Reigns plus Prince Finn Balor plus like 90s HBK. And Josh and Jesse are neck and neck for most the most brutal in the ring. Not a whole lot of flash, just a whole lot of pain.
All right, so how do y'all feel about these roles?
To be honest, like I think we've talked about this before, but some of my favorite wrestlers have been ones that kind of float in between the main event scene and the mid card. If you, I don't know, CM Punk, Daniel Bryan, yep. Rey Mysterio. I know I'm missing a few. Jeff Hardy. So I love those, like the workhorses. I've always loved those guys. I've always gravitated towards those guys. So I'm happy, man. I'm smooth. I'm smooth sailing.
Yeah, I love the workhorses because like they do enough where they kind of like get that good balance of like they work hard enough, like, and sometimes they'll be the face and they'll get that main title shot. And it's like, well, it makes sense. I mean, they bust their ass off all the time. You always get a quality match. I do like them. I like the Samoa Joe, Dean Ambrose specialist. I love that because it's just like, it speaks to like they're kind of like, they're not necessarily, they can turn as heel, but it just really on it just really depends on what they do at that time. So like if they're doing something really bogus as hell, it's like, wow, they're a heel. If they do something that apparently is right at the moment, then they're faces. It's like they're not really changing who they are. It's just maybe in that right place at the right time they're a heel, or the right place at the right time they're a face.
Yeah, like just to touch on kind of all four real quick. Out of the four of us, I definitely think it works the best that me and Jesse are the tag team, even versus me and Kobe. You know, like I've even like told Kobe like jokingly, like, man, you the only one on my side, man. Like, I swear Josh and Jesse don't like me, you know, joking and shit. But, you know, I think it works better just because we are so polar opposite, me and Jesse. I think it kind of works for the tag team element. Kobe being like a mid card, but on the fence of being like, you know, a title contender, works for him as well. It's funny that you made him a stickler you know, for the rules, just because Kobe is very meticulous with stuff. And it kind of makes sense that he would be a stickler for the rules. And then you, of course, I don't have to explain it. You know, you're Josh, you're a thought. So the fact that you're, you know, the cocky, full of himself wrestler, it's accurate. It's that accurate.
To be a life game king.
Like, shut up, Jesse.
Oh my gosh. I was not expecting that. Wow.
Yeah, like I definitely, I think this is a, like you basically said, Derek, I think this is a good fit for everybody. Like you and Jesse sort of have that, like, you guys aren't the same person, but you, I can definitely see you guys being on the same page, especially on the come up. I can see like Jesse just like, or Derek like doing some flashy move and then Jesse tagging in and just putting someone in like a chokehold and like them passing out in the middle and Jesse just not letting that go or whatever. Like that, like no one's gonna stop him sort of thing. Kobe is real, again, foreshadowing. Kobe comes out the best at all of this. Like, so him in the mid card, like, you know, that
he legit just stays in his own fucking lane.
Yeah. Like,
hey man.
Don't think of me as like, I'm trying to think of like the mid carder who like always a mid carder. Like think of me more of in terms of my like abilities to go up. And the standings more, like I said, more of a punk Daniel Bryan way. Not so much a, who's like a, like Bobby Lashley before 2021.
Yeah. Or say, even, Southern? You know, like The Miz.
Even The Miz.
Like lives in the mid card.
Mm-hmm. Or, but he can also bowl now. Well, I guess he's no longer.
But champion. Like that was clearly, he's a transitional champ. You know what I'm saying? He held the belt for 2 weeks, right? Like
I was thinking even, well, I guess that was like 10 years ago, the last time he was champ.
Right.
Yeah. So yeah.
All right, so our come up.
So, you know, during our come up, when the group breaks into WWE, you know, their heels, of course, we don't do anything but antagonize, you know, authority figures, condescendingly speak about the rest of the roster, you know, and beat the ever-loving piss out of every face that crosses our way. You know, that's how it has to be, right? Like Josh said this before, like you have to break in a certain way, and this is definitely how we do that. We also, you know, beat up heels, not because they necessarily get in the way, but to kind of force our way into opportunities for championship gold. You can obviously tell that we're on a mission. We're not here to play games with people. You know what I mean? We all gain gold within the first 4 months of being on the main roster, but not at the same time. It doesn't happen until a big four pay-per-view down the road. And at the pay-per-view, the lasting image is similar to Evolution at Armageddon 2003. Everyone is draped in gold.
So, yes, we're going to cut to our first promo. So, D. Will, if you put promo one.
Welcome back to Monday Night Raw, ladies and gentlemen. I'm here, as always, with my color commentator, Teddy Flowers. Teddy, as we see, these four making their way down to the ring. What do you think of what they all did last night?
What they did? How could you not be anything but impressed, Ross? All of them won their matches fair and square in the middle of the ring.
Yeah, but just the sheer brutality of it. A lot of people thought it was just uncalled for.
Sometimes you gotta get down in the mud before you can make something pretty again.
Well.
Well, what does the champ have to say?
Which one? They're all champions, dummy.
We told you. Still.
Well, what a statement from our champion there. But stay tuned to Raw. Coming up after the commercial break, Peyton and Devin will battle Cash and Phil to see who will be the new number one contenders for the Raw Tag Team Championships.
Together they hold gold until the next Big Four pay-per-view and someone drops the title. But it doesn't matter because at least one other member has gold all the time. Slowly, though, they start to turn face. Kobe has a match with an up-and-coming mid-carder where he drops his title clean, dead, in the middle of the ring. And instead of being mad or beating up the guy, he offers his hand. He lost, but it was clean, one-on-one. The mission is still the same.
but it's spreading across WWE. As they keep turning face, they offer props and a handshake after every match, heel or face. Doesn't matter if they get it back or not, but they still offer. Their goal of championship aspirations doesn't change. They're still prize fighters after all. And they do all regain gold again, but this time as faces. There's a whole celebration on Raw after this happens. And they give each other their flowers and thank the crowd.
All right. So that's basically, it's not as detailed as the rest of this is going to be, but that's basically the, you understand the point of the come up. We're here to win championships, to basically affect change in WWE. And basically the only way to affect change is to be champion, right? No one's going to listen to the guy that's never won anything. And so then at that point, you know, you see a team like this, you've seen it with, you know, Undisputed Era, New Day, you know, The Shield, all that kind of stuff. Like, you can't really be heels too long because people start to like, people like this sort of thing, right? Like, Undisputed Era was, they had the hardest job ever in being heels in NXT. They were just too cool. Like people genuinely liked them. And they still had some great matches, and Adam Cole did some really good heel stuff, but like, he still, you know, anytime he did the Adam Cole thing, the entire crowd goes, babe, you know, like, you can't really do that. So at some point we have to turn face. That doesn't mean the mission really has to change. It just means we have to change our strategy a little bit. So before we get into the saga, how are we feeling?
Yeah, no, I mean, it makes sense. I mean, you look at pretty much any heel stable that's like worth their salt. They all usually, even if they're there, I guess personas largely remain similar. They have to like alter a little bit because you do find that often. Like, it's not just like stable heel, like heels that are in stables, but any heel, any real heel turn. A lot of it, at least the beginning stages, is I'm tweaking my character a little bit to make it a little less obnoxious, but I'm still the same. Like, I remember when The Miz was a face, which was honestly like a really weird saga, because like, he's just obviously a heel. He was very much the same character, but then he was just a face. He very much was the same though. And that's pretty much what we're doing.
Yeah, no, I definitely think it's a good setup for, you know, what's to come. You know, it starts off, you know, it's kind of like not a slow burn, but, you know, you establish, you know, our faces and everything, who we are and such. And then, you know, now it's time to get into the meat of it. So.
Yeah. Well, I do like how it says heel or face. We still offer a lot of showmanship. Like, it doesn't matter, like, if, you know, if a heel wins or a face wins, like, hey, you won fair and square, then, you know, hey, I'm just going to offer a handshake. It's just like, no matter what, the integrity of the mission is still there. I can't wait.
So as a group, we're riding high. Everyone is champion. Life is good. But Jesse feels slighted. See, him or Derek haven't really had a ton of one-on-one opportunities for singles gold, but never for the top championship, the WWE championship, which I'm always holding. Kobe is content with being in the mid-card because he still gets to showcase himself, particularly against guys that are up-and-comers or that don't get a ton of TV shine. And he also, you know, you're sort of treating me like a Roman Reigns right now as the head of the table or as a Brock Lesnar type, in that, like, you don't really see a whole bunch of me defending the championship on free TV. You know, big events, you know, Christmas, you know, that sort of thing. If it was, you know, like 4th of July episode or something like that. But like, generally speaking, that happens on the pay-per-views. So Kobe usually takes over that spot. And Jesse and Derek don't get that. And Jesse doesn't even get to win their matches anymore because they've turned babyface, because that usually is given to Derek's more flashy finisher. So think of like Montez Ford with the Street Profits, right? Like, it's very rare that Angelo Dawkins is the one to pin somebody because, you know, Montez Ford is doing the frog splash from the top rope. And as a submission guy, primarily, you know, that's not really a babyface characteristic. You see some of that maybe in, you know, Becky Lynch, John Cena during his heyday. He had the STFU, but he didn't use that as much. Like, submission finishes are usually a heel thing.
Daniel Bryan. So, with the
Daniel Bryan, like, Daniel Bryan has the yes lock, but again, like, yeah, you know, that he has it in his arsenal. I'm not saying that he doesn't ever win with it, but like, it's not as much of a babyface thing. So now, as not only not the WWE champion, not the Intercontinental champion, and as one half of the tag team champions, but not the one that wins the matches, Jesse feels just like a guy. He's just kind of there.
And it's, in fact, when Jesse asked Josh for a title shot, he's always reminded that that he and Derek need to focus on whatever team that they're having to face. And Josh always reminds him of that. Or Josh says, hey, I already have X opponent and they just demand my attention. So, but Jesse, he always tells him your day's going to come at some point, or at least that's what Josh promises him. Meanwhile, Derek's ego is starting to get in the team's way. He's like constantly tagging himself in, and they retain titles, but it's really starting to piss Jesse off. So one night when they're defending the titles in the main event and Derek does it again, Jesse isn't in the mood this time. They bicker and it turns into a big blow up with one another in the middle of the ring. It's kind of awkward to watch, to be honest with you. The other team that they're facing doesn't really know what to do, so it goes on for like 30 seconds. Eventually, Derek winds up getting rolled up, and Jesse does nothing to stop it, which results in them losing the match.
Yeah, and Derek doesn't take kindly to this whatsoever, and they come to blows. Like, not real haymakers, but like when two brothers are just frustrated with each other and like they just need to get that like pent up rage out. So me and Kobe rush out. I go to Jesse. Kobe goes to Derek. This is important. Remember this for later in the story. And the announcers emphasize how stunned they are that things have come crashing down so quickly. Like we were just riding high. We were just on Raw not too long ago, giving each other our flowers and telling each other, you know, how much we all love each other and all that kind of stuff. And that sort of thing. So the next week backstage, we have a talk, and I basically am like, you know, everyone needs to get their head out their ass, get it together. Royal Rumble is next week. It is WrestleMania season. And everyone agrees, but still declares for the Royal Rumble itself. So the week after that, Jesse and Derek, they win a number one contenders match for the tag titles, and they look good doing so, right? They're on the same page. There's no blow-ups. There's no animosity, anything like that. Jesse even wins the match by submission. He has someone in the middle of the ring, Derek sort of protecting him from, you know, the partner running in and all that kind of stuff. Afterwards, Derek gives him a big hug. Jesse looks content. Me and Kobe come out and we celebrate them. And life is good once again. Okay, before we go any further, Jesse and Derek, how are y'all feeling?
Life is not good, man. It's not good.
Dun, dun, dun.
What does that mean?
Because you have so many other things that just unraveled, you know, like just because I was able to submit for one time, that doesn't make up for all the other times I wasn't able to use my finisher, or even like Derek being even more obnoxious now. Like, it also doesn't, you also haven't wrapped up the fact that I always want a title shot and I'm always reminded to focus on something else. It's just so many, life is not good. I mean, I know that's written just to be like, yeah, everything's perfectly fine, right? It's fine. Everything's okay, but like you can clearly see, it's not. It's too many other like deep rooted things. Like this is more like a bandage thing to do. It almost feels like Derek just did it because he was like, he needs this more than me. Go ahead. You can even view it like that.
So the best part for me about this whole kind of build up, in our tag team dynamic, is the fact that I'm the one taking charge, right? Because it's usually not that way. Well, I'm usually not that much of a in front of this, I want to be the face type of guy when it comes to stuff. So the fact that you all have me as like the guy that like, no, Jesse, like I'm doing this shit, you know, like this is me. It kind of makes for an interesting kind of like.
Nah, this is really how
character. Derek. All right.
Derek, tell me what the fuck to do. Jesse, go here. Jesse, go here. Jesse, we're starting to record.
No, but as you all will see, and kind of like how Jesse alluded to, right, I'm more so in this specific match, you know, I'm doing this to make him feel good, but is our dynamic going to change? You know, is, like Josh said, is Jesse's fed up with this? You know, so what does that look like going forward, right? You know, for the audience, like, when you have, you know, egos within a group, things kind of, they start to separate. So we'll see what happens.
Yeah, it's funny that you said that about you specifically, because I can very much see this being like, you know, like I said, in this character, at least, you're being sort of like Seth Rollins as a heel was obnoxious. Dolph Ziggler as a heel is obnoxious. You know, even someone like Montez Ford, like he's not a heel, but like you can clearly see A, that they have talent and they're super flashy. Like there's very much like a look at me type of thing, right? Jesse just wants to kick ass, get in and out, win this match, let's go, right? And like this is very much like a showman type of thing for Derek, right? And so that's cool when everyone's on the same page. It is not when you are not, and as we're seeing that now.
So continuing, you know, our story on, the Royal Rumble comes around and Jesse and me are the second match of the night. Before the match starts, you know, the four of us are together. You know, we're talking strategy. This is the last time that we'll see all four of us together on the same page and as a unit. Josh leaves to go get ready for his title defense later in the night, which includes a workout. Meanwhile, Kobe has drawn the number two spot in the Rumble, so he gets mentally ready for that. In their title rematch, you know, things start off well. You know, me and Jesse, you know, we make frequent tags and are showing the same chemistry, you know, that we had earlier in the week. Things are looking good, right? So I'm being worked over, you know, in the ring, and I finally make my way over to tag in Jesse, who, you know, one by one steps off of the steel steps, looking at me, you know, coldly as he does. Meanwhile, you know, me, I'm infuriated at this point. I ask, you know, if Jesse wants to be the hero or if he wants to win, right? I'm kind of tired of this, you know, back and forth that we're having. And right before, you know, he walks into a double team move, you know, we lose our championship rematch. I sit there, you know, with my head in my hands as Jesse walks away, you know, before I start, you know, berating him and calling him a coward.
And let me tell y'all something. I don't take this kindly at all. But, you know, I slowly and calmly step back into the ring. I help a very confused Derek up. And I look him dead in the eye and I say, "You're right." And I proceed to just swift punch him dead in the throat. So as Derek is wheezing, I kick him in the gut and apply a sleeper hold, making him pass out. And as that's happening, I'm yelling that I actually should have done this sooner. I'm tired of hearing Derek's mouth. And that Derek was holding me back all along was obnoxious self. But Derek is passed out in the middle of the ring, limp. And I very calmly roll out the ring, get a kendo stick, you know, going back to my ECW roots, using it in the ring to work over Derek's midsection and bringing him back into consciousness. You ever whoop somebody's ass so hard that they wake back up? Like, you just whoop us so hard. Now, when that happens, when Derek just wakes up screaming in pain, I use that same kendo stick to put him in submission and just make him pass out again. And then, I'm not done yet. No. I bring out the steel steps to the ring because I'm a big stepper. Performing a spine buster on him. Whew. And after further injuring Derek's back, I go and lock in another sharpshooter. I make him pass out once again. I made this man pass out three times. He said, "Never call me a coward."
All right, let's talk about it.
Can I just say what the fuck? All right, like, because why are you bringing me back into consciousness just to further beat my ass? that's some really messed up stuff.
So they might wake back up. Like, you just keep dropping balls on them till they wake up.
I ain't do it. Look, I'm over here during the match, minding my business, trying to win. This man over here messing it up for us, bro. Like,
and Jesse, the entire time you in the ring, he's like, how am I going to beat this nigga's ass afterwards?
The whole time. It's like, you're a coward. Yep, that's all I needed to hear. Now I have full license to do what I want. He just called you. You don't know how people are going to react, man. Just be careful what you say.
Right. I guess I caught him on a bad day, I guess.
Dog, every day is a bad day. That's every day. Just don't say
and cue therapy session.
No, I'm just imagining just the throat punch is what got me, because you can punch someone in the face, but like punching someone in the throat is very specific.
That's very on brand. It's like, you're right.
Is that, and then the kick to the gut, and then the sleep, like you were cutting off all of his wind in his body.
That man, look, my submission, the Corona Vice Grip.
You just in there.
He got the Corona Vice Grip. He's coughing.
But yeah, so before I get into why I think it has to be this way, Kobe, like, why do you, like, or you guys, why does it, for y'all, why does this make sense to you guys?
This makes sense to me because it's like my character. I want to make this very clear. My character in this script.
Nah, bro, this all you. This is from last Thursday. Stop it.
My character in this script is so sick and tired of everyone's shit. He's so sick and tired of it. He's tired that he hasn't gotten a title shot. He's tired that he you know, he's always resorted to just not being the one to make finishing matches. He's just, you know, just the guy there. And he's like, out of all people, G, I got to take this to Derek. I got to take this from Derek, dog. Derek's like the most obnoxious one in the group. I'm like, bro, I can kick his ass. You mean he do some little cartwheels in the ring? Like, I should take this? Nah. But yeah, I think that's why. I think, like, in the character, Jesse, in this group, has just had enough for everyone's shit. And he's like, I'm done with it. I'm just done.
Before I say what I'm about to say, for the audience, know that this is not a character. This is Jesse Pink. I just want to get that clear. All right. This is what Jesse does in real life. But
I can't no stick and beat your ass if you want. That never happened.
That never happened. Wink. Wink.
Not yet, at least, is the context. Not
you
yet.
Better watch your back, bro.
But like relating to the story. So, like, you're going to see, you know, once we read through all this, like, it's a saga, right? It's a cycle of events that are happening. We have to come, you know, full circle with things. And I think that doesn't really work unless something happens within our team dynamic, me and Jesse, right? Like, if we're just constantly going on, it's like, we're this great tag team. We always get along, you know, like, it doesn't really make for a story, right? So, I think that this happening is a necessary thing in order to have like a full saga with our stable. So,
and I think it makes, oh, go ahead.
No, I was gonna say it makes sense for Jesse to be the one who turns on Derek, just because we talk about his persona, his skill set. Jesse is very much, how can I say, he would make for a better heel than Derek would, at least in terms of turning against someone in that way. I think Jesse's, like, his persona would be better suit for that. You really don't see the high flyer, like, maybe not fly, the flashy one do something in this way. At least not with Derek's persona that we're giving him in this character. Jesse's very much I can easily be a heel. Like, it's just a seamless fit.
Yeah. And I think specifically the way that this plays out, I think it has to be this cartoonishly violent because of everything we just said. Like, it has to, like, you could see Jesse's point of view, right? Like, he's not Intercontinental Champion. He's not WWE Champion. He doesn't get to finish the matches anymore. He's super talented. He has a skill set that can go take him places. But, you know, you constantly feel overlooked. It's the same thing it's the same mistake that WWE made with Becky Lynch when they turned her heel against Charlotte Flair. And the people were cheering for them. That lasted all of, like, they did it that SummerSlam. The next, I think it was on SmackDown. The next SmackDown, she was still talking as a heel. And then after that, they reverted her back to face like this anti-hero because people are like, no, like, we completely understand why she would do something like this, right? We can all see it. It's against a Flair, for God's sake. It's against Charlotte Flair, like the, you know, silver spoon in your mouth individual in the women's division. And so it needs to be this way for Jesse, because yes, people understand where he's coming from, but then he just, if there's a line, it's not that he crosses it. He like leapfrogs over. He goes way, way farther than he needs to be.
Right. It's like, listen, right. And then like, I think this is what kind of like makes a quote unquote good heel or a good villain, in that you can understand like where they're coming from, but it's that they take it a little too far, you know, or not a little, a lot too far. It's like, oh, I understand that, like, you know, like if it would have ended with me and Derek like brawling out and like, you know, Kobe and Josh like coming out and separating us, that's a bit different, you know, or like me coming in, like giving him a chokehold and then staring, looking at him, then rolling out the ring. That's a bit different. But for me to get a kendo stick and just do like, it's like, it's too brutal and too violent. It's like, dog, like you at some point, and that, again, that's what makes a good villain. It's like, I agree with you up to this point. It's like, nah. That's not where we go. You could have did this. You could have stopped here. No.
Thanks. Okay.
Now, this cycle is set to run over again before Kobe runs out from the back, tackling me and throwing punches. WWE official and referees pour out from the back, separating me and Kobe and loading Derek on the stretcher. So, like, I have no qualms with Kobe. So, I don't really want to fight Kobe. So, like, I walk away telling Kobe to stay out of this. Joshua finishes up his workout and notices what has gone on via the TV screen in the back area. And he's just horrified. He's like, oh, my God. So, as Derek, accompanied by Kobe, is being loaded onto the ambulance, Joshua like comes over, both apologetic and searching for me. And like Kobe tells him that I left the building and that I need to focus, and that Josh needs to focus on his title defense coming up next.
But, you know, with all this going on, you know, Josh really can't focus, right? He doesn't take his opponent lightly. It's a rare, you know, face versus face match. But he's so distracted by all these outside things, right? You know, if the two are on the outside, he'll throw his opponent, you know, into the ring, then stop and ask the announcers if there's any updates about me, right? This happens about, you know, once or twice, you know, within the match. Josh proceeds to win his match via a roll-up. It's the first time it's happened in the WWE for him. He shakes the hand of his opponent, but Josh is present. But he's not here, right? There's a big difference in that, right? Josh finds Kobe backstage and tells him that he's going to, you know, go to the hospital to be with me, but that he wishes Kobe, you know, luck in the Royal Rumble. Kobe has a very good showing in the Royal Rumble, but entrant 26 is Jesse? Everyone else in the ring is down at that moment. So it's only Jesse and Kobe. They brawl and someone else tries to interfere and throw them both out, causing them to work together to eliminate that person, right? Kobe then quickly eliminates Jesse. Stunned, Jesse sits outside for a while Kobe is in the final five competitors. When his back is turned, Jesse slides in the ring, hits Kobe with a nut shot, and throws him out, costing him a potential Rumble win.
So the next night, Jesse comes out, all new attire, all new entrance music. He has completely separated himself from the group, and he criticizes the WWE crowd for booing him when they do the same thing if they weren't being respected or valued. He just had the guts to do it. He was being held back by babysitting Derek, and that all of his anger came out last night. He's not sorry for it, because for too long, he's been looked over, and it's Derek and my fault that the group was broken up. And Kobe comes out. He's clearly pissed about what happened to Derek, and also costing Kobe as close as he's been to a Royal Rumble win. And how dare Jesse be so short-sighted and selfish? Jesse talks about how easy it is for Kobe to say that because he's a singles champion. He gets to showcase his skill set all by himself. And Kobe's even given him a few opportunities, so they don't have beef for now. If he gets in Jesse's way again, Jesse is coming for Kobe. And then that same day, I have a lengthy sit-down interview where I talk about how it pains me what happened to Derek, how I wish I could have done more, how I wish I wasn't even, you know, working out or anything like that. I would have been there to stop Jesse. And that Jesse is just acting out. He's going through a phase. And this will pass. And most of all, how I'm proud of Kobe for standing up for us. But there is nothing more important than keeping the prestige of the WWE title. Again, this is important. So let's break here. How's that explanation feeling for everybody?
It was good.
You gotta feel some type of way right now, Kobe, right? I mean,
yeah, man, this is what I was alluding to earlier. Bro, my balls hurt.
Hey, bro, that man, bro. I said, oh, okay, you just gonna throw me out the ring? Okay, cool. All right, cool. You gonna throw me out the ring? I'm gonna cost you too. Nutshot.
Yeah, no, I think kind of breaking it down character by character, at least for me, I'm sure people understand my frustration. Like, yeah, being Intercontinental Champion is awesome. Like, being the mid-card champion is amazing. But when you get to that, and we can almost, like, when we watch it as viewers, you can see it on TV, like, once you get to that final six, it's like, oh, shoot, who's going to win? You get to the final five, it's like, oh, man. Because everybody wants to be in the final four. Like, everybody remembers the final four at the end of the night, typically. So to get even to that final, to not even be in the final four is, like, frustrating. Especially for a person who has never gotten that close. So,
and on top of that, you started this match. Like, right. You worked so hard to be in this at the end. Like, we're painting you as the Iron Man of this and still, you know, getting you over as a baby. Like,
right. And that goes into the workhorse element of my character. Like, I did the damn near the Rey Mysterio, right? Like, Edge and like the Edge and Randy Orton, mm-hmm. That was a little different because they left and then came back.
Well, Edge was in the match the entire time.
You're right. Yeah,
there's always in every Rumble, there's always someone before five that just goes the length of the match, basically.
Right. Yeah.
So
I can feel that with Kobe because Kobe's like, and that goes into what he's saying. Like, he's a workhorse. Like, you know, like I was saying earlier, generally speaking, like, you know, when workhorses like win a main title, you know, the crowd's like, oh, it makes sense. Like, you know, he worked so hard, like, to get this shot, you know, and people genuinely love that. And when you feel like, you know, you're working really hard and you haven't really even got close to what you want, and, like, you're still kind of being stuck into that mid-card spot because somebody messed it up for you, yeah, I'd be pissed too. I'd be pissed.
I think what's interesting with this, you know, whole development, you know, as an audience, you know, viewer, you're probably like, what did Kobe, you know, do to deserve his nuts being hit? But at the same time, right, you're seeing Jesse's intentions get darker and darker and his anger, you know, get increase, right? Like, he's really at this point, he's over it, right? Like, he wants what he wants. And, you know, if that means costing certain things or, you know, ruining certain things at this point, Jesse's character is just like, I don't care.
Yeah, all I right. feel like my character's like, I'm just tired of being, like, the fourth man in the group, bro. Like, I'm just tired of being placed, like, at the bottom of the group. Like, when am I going to, like, have some gold or, like, you know, some distinguishing gold? Like, when am I, like, instead of it being, like, you know, I had gold when I was tag teams with Derek, but it was, like, Derek and Jesse. When is it going to? And it felt like I was following behind Derek. Like, when is it going to be something where it's Jesse's, this is my title, this is my shot, this is my signature move, et cetera, et cetera. And again, my character just got tired of that shit. And it was like, you know what? Okay, cool. All I simply want is just a title shot. That's all I simply want. I did not get that. I kept getting constantly rejected for that. So you know what happens when I don't get what I want and getting disrespected in the midst of it? Dude, Derek, come on, man. Like, I never meant for any of this to happen. But hey.
And then something else to like think about, and you'll see, you know, as the story develops, you'll see Josh being the leader of this whole group. He has to be like, you know, like, what is going on, right? Like, you know, like we're doing well, we're being highlighted, we're doing X, Y, and Z, right? We're good, but everything is just crumbling, right? So like, what is he going to do as the leader, you know, to like either resolve this, or is something going to be taken in a different direction? Who knows, right? Like, what is, he has to be a leader, but being a leader doesn't always mean doing what's expected. So the next week, Jesse goes to qualify for the Elimination Chamber, where Josh will be defending his title. He loses thanks to a distraction from Kobe. Fuming, Jesse promises to make Kobe pay. Kobe wins his qualification match, but gets called out backstage by a different superstar for not defending his title on a regular basis. Kobe agrees and promises to defend it next week in the main event slot. He does, but the match gets interrupted by, guess who? Jesse, who beats down Kobe. He's going to work on people at this point. He just, dude got a hit list or something. Jesus Christ. Josh comes out and simply tells Jesse, that's enough. To which Jesse stops. You know, he respects Josh. I mean, you know. The two don't look friendly with each other, but they also don't fight. Jesse walks away saying, I told him to stay out of this. I'll deal with you later. He can buck with the with the head of the group? Ah, nah. Ah, nah. Ooh.
I got something for Jesse. Just wait.
He said that with his whole chest. I was a man.
He does. I bet he does.
So then Kobe's opponent, you know, demands a rematch, which both Kobe and the show's, you know, GM, you know, obliged to, right? He kind of got screwed over, so, you know, that seems fit. However, this match is a steel cage match to keep anyone from interfering. And if Jesse interferes, he's suspended without pay for a month. Kobe wins a grueling match and is immediately attacked afterwards by, you know, at this point, Jesse, right?
He beat him my ass.
You know the vibes.
You know the vibes. I'm good. Josh comes, you know, down again and makes the save, with Jesse clearing the ring as soon as Josh gets there. The two have another tense stare down, but again, they don't hit each other.
So the Elimination Chamber winds up rolling around, and it's Josh, myself, and then four other fillers. Jesse has a match earlier in the night where he looks really dominant. He wins his match in under 5 minutes. But he doesn't look satisfied at all, and you can kind of see him muttering to himself as he's walking to the back of the locker room. So the chamber is lowered, and Josh is the first person in, taking his spot in his pod. Two others come in, and then my music hits. But I don't walk out. You cut to the back and you see, guess what? Jesse beating my ass again, this time putting me in a sleeper hold, looking very satisfied with himself. He walks out and his music hits and he takes my spot in the Elimination Chamber. Once again, Jesse and Josh have an intense stare down across the pods. Jesse enters at 5. Mowing through three superstars convincingly. Josh enters at 5, mowing through three superstars convincingly. Then Jesse enters last and the last, and they stare each other down while Jesse's still in the ring. And then Derek pops up. Welcome back, Derek. Welcome back. He pops up through a latch and he just goes to town on Jesse. Like, Derek's being Jesse's ass. Like, Jesse's been being my ass, his ass. He's just going to town. It's just a full-on beat down. He hits his finisher, throws him in the ring. Josh doesn't even cover Jesse because he's just so stunned. But one of the other Philly superstars does. Derek leaves the latch that he came through in the bottom of the Elimination Chamber, leaving Josh as the champion and retaining his title.
Fucking gremlin coming out from on the fucking floorboard.
I'm back.
That's what you had to do all that. Yeah.
So clearly the three of you's got beef. But yeah, so before we go on to our second promo, now how are we feeling about this? Derek, you're back. Kobe, you've been getting the beats for a little bit, and Jesse.
And his ass whooped.
You know what Jesse, I say? You know what this is about? Look, I'm here to get that shit back in blood. Look.
Big burr.
Oh, but no, I'm getting my ass beat constantly. It'd be nice if I could fight back every once in a while, but you know.
Back, nigga.
Guess it's not in the cards. But no, this is honestly perfect for all of us. Josh, you're actually, at least in these past few scenes, I mean, you can, if it's not really clear, like Josh is obviously an active, but he's not a person that you are going to hear a lot from on a day-to-day basis. Like he's obviously the champion, etc. But you can see, like, in terms of the words he says, like, he's only saying very little. But he's still, like, a constant presence. In terms of, I guess, in the title scene, and obviously, like, he wins. He's still the champion. So you can kind of see, like, his persona and, like, his, not disposition, but, like, his role and everything. And it's just, it's great to see Derek come back to just beat someone's ass. Because, you know, Derek can use that.
It kind of, it's like Josh has, like, this very, like, God of War type of like overhaul control of the group, like enough.
Like, yeah, it's very much a walk quietly but carry a big stick type thing.
It's shout out to Teddy R for that, and Teddy R, shout out to imperialism, rogue criminal to the night.
But yeah, it's very, you know, like that's where I said some of you know, obviously, all of these guys talked a lot more between, you know, 90s HBK, you know, what Finn Balor is doing now in NXT and Roman. But it's sort of in that mode of like, I don't need to say a whole bunch. You know who I am. Like, I don't, like, I'll step, if I got to say a whole bunch of stuff, like, people, like, it's like, okay, all right, shit, like, that sort of thing. And to sort of showcase that point, we're going to go into our second promo. So this is the night after Elimination Chamber, and it is setting up our WrestleMania phase.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome into Monday Night Raw. And as you can see, Derek Small is already here in the ring to open up the show. And Teddy, he had a really eventful night last night. What do you think about what took place at Elimination Chamber?
Well, you already know I'm all for the aggression. Derek is taking those next steps to become a champion.
Teddy, he brutalized his friend last night. Don't you think that's a little uncalled for?
Sometimes, Ross, that's what it takes.
It feels so good to be back here. I love seeing the fans, being in the ring. I've missed it. But you all know why I'm here. Let's address the elephant in the room, shall we? Yeah, I beat the hell out of Jesse. So what? Who's really going to do something about it? Am I right? You see the rise that I'm on. And if I'm being honest, this is to his fan base specifically. It was easy. Everything he does is predictable. So, I mean, I didn't really have a challenge there. And let's talk about something else, too. I got time today. I didn't even get a shot, you know, at Royal Rumble to compete. And I think I've done enough to be in contention for this. So it's my time.
Here comes the WWE Champion Joshua, and he does not look happy with Derek.
Well, Ross, he shouldn't be. He only retained last night via help. That's a weak way to stay a champion.
Joshua didn't ask for that help, Teddy.
Well, he didn't do anything to stop it either.
My boy, buddy. Oh. It's so good to see you in this ring again, man. I was so worried about you after Royal Rumble and, you know, trying to take care of you and the family and everything like that. I didn't know at one point if you would ever be back in not only this ring, but just around the business again. You know, that was a hell of a beating you took. So I'm pleased. Believe me, I'm the happiest to see you. But, you know, if I'm being honest, I was not expecting you to see you last night. And more importantly, I wasn't expecting to see you in the middle of my match last night. And listen, we're brothers. I know you have good intentions, and I know that you feel like you've been, you know, screwed over by Jesse, and you wanted to get back at him. And I understand that. I get that. But I don't need your help to stay champion. I'm my own man. And so I love you, buddy, but don't do that again. I need you to hear me. Look at me in the eyes when I tell you this. Don't you ever do that again.
And here comes Kobe, the Intercontinental Champion. I'm curious to hear what he has to say about all this.
Frankly, he doesn't get much to say in my opinion. He's a champion in his own right. Move on already.
Teddy, he got jumped last night.
He needs better awareness.
Derek, bro, it's so great to have you back. You probably can't tell from my voice or from how I'm looking right now, because, you know, all stitched up, bandaged up after getting my ass beat last night, but couldn't be happier seeing you again. Clearly, you're feeling better and you're looking better too, and warms my heart. But just listening to you speak, talking about Jesse being predictable, really not understanding why you just didn't warn me. If you could see all this coming, why didn't you just warn me about Jesse? Huh? But, I mean, I was ready for my opportunity, my first opportunity in a while, and he stops me again. So, but whatever. I guess that's in the past, and I'm just looking forward to the future. In the future, Josh, you saw what happened at the Rumble. You saw what happened last night at Elimination Chamber. I deserve a shot at the WWE Championship, and Jesse just keeps on getting in the way. An opportunity that I've earned fair and square, opportunity I've deserved simply for all the work I've put into this company, even more than you, on a night-in, night-out basis, defending my championship against the best ones in the business. So, me and you, one-on-one, for the title. Let's do it.
Hold up, hold the hell up. Wait a minute.
And here comes Jesse, the man you could say is responsible for all of this mess.
Responsible? He's taking his fate in his own hands. That's initiative.
Teddy, he attacked two of his friends. Do you not think that's a little uncalled for?
Do you want to be friends, or do you want to be a champion?
Hold up. Wait a minute. I didn't know we were having a bros reunion out here to open up tonight. Oh, I didn't know that. Wow. You know, let me do my things too. You know, Derek, I'm so happy to see you too. You know, you really got me last night. You really did, you know? I didn't know you had that in you. I always thought you was a bitch. Kobe. Oh, Kobe, first of all, I'm glad you're doing well, you know, even though you're stitched up. Clearly can't take on me, but, you know, hey, that's neither here nor there. But you got your little championship. It's okay. You got a little mid-card championship. You stay in your own lane, you know. It's nice. You know, you're doing your own thing. Yeah. Oh, the crown jewels himself. Wow. How you doing? Oh, it's good to see you too, man. You know, being a proverbial face. Man, so good to see you. Oh, man. It's so nice to see all y'all. It's really so great that we're having this bullshit reunion. Let's just get down to it. Derek doesn't deserve a shot. The only time that Derek has even had a chance to face me is through a cheap shot. He can't take me one-on-one. Kobe, y'all saw what I did with this man. Just imagine what I would do to him in a last man standing match. Be over with. So that only leaves your only formidable contender, Josh. It looks like me. It looks like I'm the true contender. And you know what? None of this would happen if none of y'all listened to me. You know what? If none of y'all ever just put me at below of the group. It's really ridiculous. I have more matches and more victories than all three of you combined. I've gone to be a decorated champion by carrying the weight of the tag team championships with Derek. You know, I think I have a better shot. And let's not really kid ourselves here. We both know, Josh, that if no one in the group, if no one recognizes you in the group, if you're just taken out of the group, they recognize me. They're not looking for Kobe. They're not looking for Derek. They're looking at me. And they're looking at you. We're the top two best damn wrestlers in this group. I think the fans want to see the top two wrestlers in this group compete. So, fuck what they're saying. Give me a title shot.
Wait. You think you're the best? How are you the second best in this group? I've carried the tag team more than you have. What do you do?
Now, hold on a second. How can you be top two in this group when you aren't even top two in your tag team? And Derek, I mean, yeah, you got some great moves, you flashy and whatnot, but neither of you two knows what it takes to be an individual champion like I have since I've been the Intercontinental Champion for so long, carried this entire division on my back, defending the championship night in and night out.
Never gotten the chance, that's why, Kobe.
And there's a reason for that. That's why.
Title shot.
I'm the most deserving of the group.
Enough. Stop. Blah, 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 blah. That's all I hear. God, you guys are so selfish. We're brothers, all right? We've been carrying this company on our back for the last 3 years. And you guys want to throw it away over this? This? Jesus Christ. I mean, also, none of you understand what it's like to be the top champion, to be the guy, to have everybody in that locker room both looking up to you and gunning for your exact position. The responsibilities of this company to do media on your off days, to sign autographs at 3 a.m. at an airport because some 10-year-old kid looks up to you as their hero. And the responsibility to all of our fans out there that pay their good, hard-earned money to watch you do something that they've never seen. None of you are ready. Kobe, you have a responsibility as the workhorse champion on the nights that I'm not in the main event on Raw, because the title is that much more prestigious on pay-per-view. It is your responsibility to fill that void. Jesse, you're too much of a goddamn hothead. That won't fly as WWE champion, man. Someone says any one bad word about you and you're ready to go to the extremes. What's gonna happen 2 months into your title defense? 3 months, if you even make it that long. And Derek, my boy, you're talented. Hell, you might be the most talented person in this group. But you don't even know what you don't know. You're just a baby. You've never even held a singles title before, man. And you want me at WrestleMania for the WWE Championship. Now, when I say that out loud, don't that sound silly? But see, I'm going to grant all of you your wishes. So at WrestleMania, it will be me and Kobe and Jesse and Derek in a fatal four-way match for the WWE Championship. But before I go, I need you to understand this. The reason I never gave any of you a one-on-one title shot, it's not because I don't love you. It's not because I don't believe in you guys. It was to protect you. See, when you get into the ring with me, it will not be as your brother. It will be as someone that is vigilant about holding on to this WWE Championship. So I will not hold back. I will not protect any of you. You have all of my focus, and you have all of my rage, all of my brutality. And when the time comes at WrestleMania, all of you better bring your A-plus game, because I sure as hell will. And somebody is going to get their ass handed to them that night. It's not going to be me.
There you have it, ladies and gentlemen, the main event of WrestleMania. The champion Joshua has issued the challenge to all three of his former friends, as their friendship has been tested and strained over the last however many months. It will all get settled at the biggest event of the year, the main event of WrestleMania, between these four friends.
Thank you for listening to this week's episode of the It's Just Jokes podcast. We are going to stop it right here and make this a two-part event. So, for Jesse Pink, for Kobe Price, for Derek Small, and for myself, thank you all so much for listening to this week's episode. Thank you to D. Will for everything behind the scenes. We appreciate you, sir. And thank you to JL Azir and King Boy for the outro music. Tune in next week for the finale of the It's Just Jokes WWE saga. But until then, thank you guys. See y'all then.